Jeremiah chapter number 37. Try to read a few verses here and try to give to you the thought that the Lord has put on our heart, I believe, for the service tonight. Began yesterday speaking to my heart about these verses and one in particular, a phrase in a verse here in Jeremiah 37. And began reading it, and the Lord began to work in my heart, and I pray that He'll work in yours tonight and give you some encouragement and strength for these days. I pondered today and about the service tonight and what I felt like the Lord would have us to deal with, and it seems like just about every message for the last while has been running the theme of encouragement or strength for the people of God. I believe the Lord knew what He was talking about when He instructed the writer of Hebrews to write that we would need exhorting so much the more as we saw the day approaching. And these days we're in, I've mentioned it numerous times, about perilous times are here. And I looked at that word again today, I think it was today, and definition, part of it meant to deplete the strength, and that's where we are in these days. The people of God have become weak, and I don't mean that in a harsh way, just that the world and all the things that are going on are dragging the spirit of the people of God down, and that we need strength, and I'm glad there is strength, encouragement, there's sustenance, food to be found in the Word of God in these days, and I thank the Lord for it. Jeremiah chapter number 37, when you found your place, if you're physically able, willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. I want to read almost the entire chapter tonight, just 21 verses. We won't read the entirety, but I want to read most of it to put the scripture in the context so we understand what's taking place here. Jeremiah 37 and beginning in verse number 1. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal the son of Shelemiah and Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him into prison. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. When the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army which is come forth to help you shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. It came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. When he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Elijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah, and he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, thou fallest away to the Chaldeans. Then said Jeremiah, it is false, I fall not away to the Chaldeans, but he hearkened not to him. So Elijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him, and put him in a prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'd like to preach tonight, if the Lord would help me for just a few minutes, on there is a word from the Lord. I thought about these verses and the situation that's going on here. And it seemed to me, the more that I read it and thought about, pondered on the situation, the more that it grew familiar to our day. But the Bible said that there was evil going on in the land, and the people would not hearken to the word of the Lord. That they would not hear God's message nor regard God's man. And we're in that day today. And because of all of that, that there were some troublesome times coming. And I read about it and the Lord just spoke to my heart. And it's going to be real simple and probably fairly brief tonight, but I want to give you what's on my heart. There were troublesome times coming, and the Lord said it's just what's going to happen. There's nothing that can be done about it. It's going to happen. Now look around in our day, and the Word of God said that troublesome times will be in the last days, and there's nothing that can be done to stop it. They're going to happen. Now that's not to give the church an excuse to sit down and stop. That's not the will of God. But the reality is hard times are coming and there's nothing we can do about it. Here in the scripture, if you read the verses that were read and you're hearing tonight, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and he said that the Chaldeans will return and they will besiege the city and they will burn it with fire. And the Lord knew the mind of the king and the mind of all the people of Israel. He knew that they said, we'll get an army together and we'll stand for our people, we'll stand for our country, and we won't let them do it. But the Lord said, if you even smote them and there was just wounded men left among them, they will still rise up and burn the city with fire. The Lord is saying to Jeremiah, which is the word of the Lord to give to the king, that there is nothing you can do except let it be. And in these days, as far as these perilous times are concerned, there's really nothing we can do except let it be. The Lord said it would come. Paul told Timothy that in the last days, perilous times shall come. He didn't say that they might come or that there was a high likelihood, but he told Timothy they would come. And the remainder of the verses of exhortation and strength and instruction that Paul wrote to Timothy was not how to stop the last days. There is no stopping the last days of the perilous times. But it was a charge for him to continue on in spite of the last days that are coming. And I'm telling you, in these days, as much as we'd like, and I'm not going to preach politics tonight, but it is a reality for our day. It's come to our nation as a part of the last days that we're living in.
as much as we'd like to go to Washington and change everything that's happening and going on up there, there's a high likelihood that it'll never change. It's just probably going to get worse and worse and worse. The Bible said there was a day in Romans chapter 1 that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Even they who had knew God, learned about God, have been instructed in the ways of God, and so because they would not retain God in their knowledge, that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And we're in that day today when the people that know God in a nation that has been founded upon the principles and the fundamentals of the Word of God, that God has blessed greater than any other nation on the face of the earth besides the nation of Israel, would be the nation of America. And we have spurned it in the eyes of God and turned our back as a whole, as a country, upon God, and He will not tolerate it. He hadn't in days gone by, and he won't again. Peter said that Sodom and Gomorrah was left for an example for those that should follow after. And if God judged them the way he did for their wickedness, then God must judge America for hers. And I'm telling you, there are things that are going to come, that are going to happen in these last days, as much as it may break our heart. I'm not standing up here tonight preaching prideful like I want it to happen. I don't want it to happen to our country. But if something doesn't change, it's going to happen, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's just the last days. One old preacher said, and he's gone on to be with the Lord now, that we're just victims of prophecy. And that's the reality. We have been born in the last days. We are living in the last days. We are living in the darkness. But what greater time to let our light shine than in the darkness of the hours that we're living in? Peter said we ought to shine as bright lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And that's where we are, in a crooked and perverse nation. But I'm glad the church is a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Sometimes in these days when the word came to the king, he worried and wondered, and they arrested Jeremiah, thought he was falling away to the enemy. He wasn't, of course, we understand that. And they put him in prison, and everybody hated him. The man of God was very much despised. And in case you've not figured it out yet, we're on the cusp of those days again, even in this nation, when the word of God, the message of God, and the man of God are very much a despised thing. In this day, everybody hated Jeremiah, and it's proven that the king came, the one that was in authority, the one that spoke, and it was so, but he was so afraid of the hatred that they had for Jeremiah, that he came in secret, brought Jeremiah to his house to inquire of him and ask if there was any word from the Lord. And it seems like, as we read these verses, I'm just trying to preach tonight. Seems like, as we read these verses, that Jeremiah's answer in the midst of all these days should be no. There's no word from God. It seems like to me, if I was the writer of the story, if I was the one to make the decision with all of the things that are going on, and how hated that God was, and how hated his man was, and hated his message was, you would think that the thing to do would be to not give them any help, to not speak to them. But you have to understand, in the middle of it all, we just see all the bad, but there's still a few that love God and want his help, and God will help them in spite of everything else. And so here we are in 2021, right smack in the middle of perilous times, when the worlds are getting worse and worse, and the things of God are being pushed farther and farther away, and it would seem like that God's done closed the book and said it's all over, but there's still a handful of people that love God and want to do right in these days. And I'm glad for us that there's still a word from God, even in the dark days we're living in.
Amen, brother.
The king went to Jeremiah and he said, is there any word from the Lord? It seems like, as he said, Jeremiah should have said no. God's not got anything to say to you. But I'm glad for the two little words that Jeremiah spoke to him that are so profound that I hadn't read this scripture, I don't know when, but it just come to me fresh and new. Getting ready the other night, the Lord spoke to my heart about these two words, and Jeremiah said, there he is. And here we are in these dark days, trying to live right and do right, trying to get direction from God on how to lead our families and instruct the people of God and how to go on as a church, and we're needing a word from God. I'm here to tell you tonight, Mama, Daddy, Grandma, Grandpa, husband, wife, a leader, or a person that's a member of the church, there he is. If you need it tonight, there he is, a word from God in these days.
I began to think about all these situations in the Word of God when the Word of the Lord came to somebody, or the Word of the Lord was spoken through His man to someone that needed a word in their day. And the Lord put two things on my heart, and I want to give them to you and I'm done. The Lord said, number one, there's a word of hope in these days. I'm telling you, there's a word of hope. I don't know why, but it seems like the last few times that I stood to preach, I preached in Marion, in that meeting on There's Hope. I tried to preach Saturday night, got up, called a text at Brother Preston's church. I thought I was going to preach about the midnight hour, and the Lord wouldn't let me. I just started. He put it in my heart, and I preached again on There's Hope. Here I am again tonight, and I thought, Lord, I've about worn out. But He spoke in my heart and said, somebody needs to be told again that there's still hope in these days. You may be in a storm tonight, but I'm glad the Lord has a word of hope for you in the midst of the storm. I thought about that night when He compelled the disciples to get in and to go across to the other side while He went yonder and prayed. And the Bible said, while they sailed, there came down a great storm of wind on the lake, and they were in jeopardy, and the boat was filled with water. And they're trying everything they could to get the water out and to keep the boat afloat. I don't know how you feel tonight, but I guarantee there's somebody here that feels like it's all you can do to get the water out and keep the boat afloat. But I'm glad the Bible said about the fourth watch of the night, He came walking to them on the sea. You say, what was He doing? He was bringing them a word of hope in the midst of the storm. And His word was, it is I, be of good cheer, be not afraid. And the Lord began to work in my heart about that word, be of good cheer. In Acts 27, when the Apostle Paul's on board the ship and they're in the storm, the Bible said about the 14th night, as we were driven up and down in Adria, they said, we got to have some relief. We done threw everything we can think of overboard. We done tried the anchors. We tried the sails. We tried the rigging. The Bible said they undergirded the ship with helps. We tried everything we can do. If you study that scripture, the word helps, it means ropes that would stretch from one side of the ship to the other. It wasn't metal boats like we think about today, but there's made of wooden boards. And what them ropes are for was to keep the ship from flying to pieces. And some days in our life, it seems like we're doing all we can do to keep it all from flying to pieces. There's somebody here tonight needs to hear what I'm preaching. I don't know who you are, but I know you're here. And I'm telling you tonight, Paul got down, I don't know where he went. Don't know if he went in the lower part of the ship. Don't know if he got in the crow's nest. I don't know where he got, but I know he got along with God. And he said, there stood by me an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said, be of good cheer, Paul, for there shall be no loss of any man
son's life. And Paul come back up on the storm, in the storm on the ship. See, Paul had got a word from God, but there's 275 more men that hadn't heard a word. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm nobody. I'm a nothing. I'm the lowest of the lows when it comes to the preachers. But God's put a word of hope in my heart. And maybe there's somebody here, you've tried to get a word, but you can't get one. Paul come back up on the ship, and he said, sirs, in case you've not heard from God, I heard from him a minute ago. And he said, be of good cheer. It's going to be all right.
There's them words again. Be of good cheer in the midst of the storm. You know what them words, be of good cheer. And I know I talk about words a lot. That's just the way the Lord puts it in my heart. But them words, be of good cheer. You can't just look up cheer or good or be. It's all one word all together. And it means to take courage and to take comfort at the same time. And do you understand, I was reading today, studying on that word, and I come across a statement that said in the New Testament, it's always written in imperative form. You say, I don't mean anything to me. Don't mean much to me either, because I didn't like English in high school. But I went in the other classroom where one of the teachers worked, and I said, remind me, is an imperative sentence not a declaration or a command? And she said, yes. And it's always understood that you are the subject. And so what I'm trying to say, I don't know if it means anything to you, but it did something down in my heart, that when he speaks, it'll command our heart to take courage and take comfort. I mean, it just like it happens, and there ain't nothing we can do about it. Paul was in the midst of the storm, and one minute he said all hope that we should be saved was taken away, and the storm never quit. The waves didn't quit rocking the boat. The lightning didn't quit flashing. The thunder didn't quit clapping. But he goes down one way and comes up another. He went down saying all hope's gone, and he come back up saying, be of good cheer, for I believe God. And you say, what happened? Faith overrode the flesh because he spoke. It's an imperative, it's a command, not a suggestion. He can speak to your heart and command it to have courage and comfort in the midst of a storm.
Amen, brother.
Oh yeah, in the midst of your storm. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not in a storm. But maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling. I thought about when he walked by that pool of Bethesda that day. Now, in Paul's case, he said all hope was gone. In the disciples' case, as far as they knew, all hope was gone. They were expert fishermen, and they couldn't do anything to get out of the mess they were in. And I'm telling you, it don't matter how long you've been saved, 5 months or 50 years, sometimes the storm comes, and you can't do anything to get yourself out. But ain't you glad for a word from the Lord, even if in the storm? But what about in your struggles? I thought about that man, that impotent man by the pool of Bethesda. I believe, if I remember correctly, the scriptures say that he had been in that case for 38 years. And Jesus come by, and he said, wilt thou be made whole? And that man said, I'd love to, but you see, there's a problem. That angel comes in that certain season, troubles of water, and whoever first gets in is made whole. And he said, I have no man. And as I'm trying to get there, somebody else gets in before me. And I've been this way for 38 years. You say, what's he saying, preacher? I don't know what he's saying to you, but in my ears and in my heart, I hear him saying, there's no hope. I'm just going to lay here until I die. I've struggled all these years. I've tried to get in, and I can't get in. I've tried to get what I need, and I just can't seem to get through. I don't know about you, but there have been some days in my life that I went to pray and need to get a hold of God, and it just seemed like a struggle, and I couldn't get through. And you go back to the house, and all hope seems to be gone. Your bubble's been busted. You feel like God doesn't
more questions. He already knew all the answers. He was the answer. He just said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. What Jesus said, you don't need somebody else. You don't need a man. You got the man, and he'll help you in these days. Sometimes in our life we struggle. And I'm just going to preach, okay, and I'll be done in just a minute. But sometimes in our life we struggle. And we think if we could get a hold of this one, I appreciate prayers and people being willing to pray. I'm not saying anything about that. But we think it'll fix it all. If we can get this one to pray or that one to pray. And I'll be glad to pray anytime you need me, day or night. Call, text, whatever, you drive to my house. We'll go out to the woodshed together and pray. But I'm telling you, there'll come a day, a time, an hour in your life that you can't get a hold of nobody else. You may try to get some man and can't get him, but I'm telling you, you don't need another man. You got the man. Cry out to him. He can help you. In the midst of your struggle, there's a word of hope. Aren't you glad for hope in these days? Oh, I'm so glad for hope. I think if I read my Bible right, and you just kind of have to read between the lines, I guess. I think this king was going to Jeremiah, and he was expecting Jeremiah to say no. I really think the king was convinced himself that he would go get Jeremiah, bring him back to the house, and he'd give up all hope. It already been said, it's going to be bad, nothing we can do about it. But he said, I need a word from God. Is there one? And I think he thought that Jeremiah would say no. And the king brought him back, the Bible said, and asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there he is. And you've come into the house of God tonight, and you're in the storm, or you're struggling, or you feel like Paul and the disciples, and you're doing everything you can to stay afloat, doing everything you can to keep the boat from flying to pieces and your life from falling apart, doing everything you can just to do the best you can, and it seems like all you do is of no use and no avail, and you need a word from God, and you've tried to get it and you can't. I'm telling you tonight, there's a word, and it's be of good cheer. It's okay. There's hope in the midst of it all. I want to say there's a word of help from the Lord too. You say, preacher, I need some help tonight, but my situation seems impossible. God's come up against plenty of impossible situations before. Out of all, there's so many accounts, so many stories that we could read and show where God did the impossible. And out of all the ones that the Bible records, to my heart, he brought a widow woman that come running to the man of God in 2 Kings and said, my husband's dead and the creditors are coming to take my two sons and I don't have anything to pay the debt. It looks impossible. And you may be here tonight and the Lord knows what you're going through. Financial trouble may be the reality, but the Lord's worked that way before. And it may not be financial trouble. It may be spiritual trouble. It may be physical trouble. It may be mental trouble, emotional trouble. It may be family trouble. Whatever the trouble of the situation may seem impossible, but the Lord's worked that way before. Elijah said, what do you have in the house? And she said, nothing. Save a pot of oil. And she was not elevating that pot. She was putting it as low on the pole as she could go. She said, I don't have anything but just a little old pot of oil. But there was a word from the Lord. And Jeremiah said, Elisha said, go pour out. Get you some vessels. Shut your door on you and your boys and begin to pour. And I'm telling you, in these days, you may say, I got nothing. Maybe that's where you are tonight. What she said is, I got nothing to give.
just a pot of oil. And you may be here tonight and you may feel like you don't have anything to give God. Oh, you want to. You want to keep going on, but you feel like you don't have anything to give. Just get what you got and go to pouring. See if the Lord can't do the rest. See, I don't know how big the pot of oil was. It don't say. But I know He said, go get you vessels, empty vessels. And Elisha said, and boil not a few. Let's watch God work. You may have come into the church house tonight. I know where you are if you're there. I've been there more times than once. And you may have come in tonight and felt like, why am I here? I don't have anything to offer. I don't have anything to contribute. There's nothing I can do. All I've done is just showed up again to sit in my place. All I've done is just come to the house of God. I will just bring your pot of oil, bring your two sticks, bring your bundle, bring whatever it is, and give it to God. It may look impossible, but God does the possible out of the impossible. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight and maybe you're a little bit like me. We want the Lord to work, and sometimes we get a little impatient. He spoke to my heart yesterday, and I saw the story of the widow at Zarephath in a different light than I'd ever seen it before. The Bible said that the Lord had commanded her to feed the man of God. And I wonder in me, I'm just preaching my thoughts that the Lord put in my heart. I wonder how long she saved the last. How long in between meals she went because she knew the man of God was coming and she needed to feed him. But in reality, she had become impatient. And she said, well, the Lord said He was coming, but He ain't come, so He must not be coming. And she went to gather two sticks and take the last handful of meal and the last little bit of oil. And she told Elijah, the man of God, she said, I'm going to bake this for me and my boy, and we're going to die, give up on things happening the way I thought they would. Yeah. And in your heart, God spoke to you in days gone by and given you hope and strength and help. But things ain't went like you thought they ought to, or in the time frame you think they ought to, and you've put off and you've pushed back and you've tried to be patient, but you've just about lost patience. And you think, well, what's the use? It's all but over now. I don't know how long. I know, thinking about the flesh, I'm sure there were a lot of restless, sleepless nights. She didn't come to this conclusion overnight. The human mind does not come to this conclusion overnight that she said, we're going to eat this, me and my boy, and we're going to die. Right. She had come to that conclusion. She had finalized it in her mind and finished it all. She had no other expectations besides death for her and her boy. But there was a word from the Lord. You say, no, Elijah had the word. Oh no, Elijah said, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, for the Lord God of Israel saith, the barrel meal shall not waste, neither shall the crucible fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. Now, I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt of anything in my mind, there's somebody, if not more than one somebody's in this building tonight, and you're in the storm or you're struggling along. And you've tried to get a word and it seems like it's been no use. You're just going through the motions, going down the same road, and the clouds are looking darker and the waves are getting harder and the winds are blowing stronger and the lightning's brighter and the thunder's louder, and there ain't nothing you can do about it, and you can't get a word anywhere. And the Apostle Paul, who the Word of God said was, his bodily presence was weak and his speech was contemptible. The least desirable physically of any preacher, but he had a word from God. I don't claim to be anything tonight of any good at all. But in my heart, I know that there's a word from God. In your storm and in your struggle, just hang on. Be of good cheer. Fear not. However you want to cut it, it all means the same. Just trust God. He'll take care of it all. There's a word for you in your storm and in your struggle. As we stand all over the house tonight, I'm done. As far as I know.